Hello, everybody. We didn't think we'd be here today, you know. We're supposed to be in London. where you have a birthday. B-I-R-F-D-A-Y. A birthday. And nothing. We've had to learn to speak a new language being in London. But having been here this weekend, it has been phenomenal. It has blessed Greg and I so much. And I've listened to the prophetic words, and actually I want to speak a bit about that. Because I think it was Julian who spoke on the Friday evening. It all blends into one. And he spoke about Britain, and he said, when is Britain going to be great again? Do you remember? Great Britain. And something started ringing in my ears again, thinking, oh, okay. And then yesterday afternoon, Simon spoke and said about the church in the UK becoming great again, rising up and becoming great again, so that Jesus will be famous again. And God just took me back a few years. Because you see, we're not supposed to be living in the UK at all. But something happened. And 6 years ago, well, seven, I suppose, Greg and I started knowing that we needed a time out from South Africa, from what we were involved in. And it just came into my mind that we need to come to the UK for 6 months, you know. And in that time, two New Frontiers churches called us to the UK for 6 months. That was 2006. Well, we came for the 6 months, and while here, people said, and what about us? Come to our church and this one and that. We're still here. Which, of course, is quite a shock for us. Because we were supposed to be home. We go home on holiday now, saying, Lord, now what on earth is going on? But you know, when we knew that God was going to send us here, I said to the Lord, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the 6 months? You know, didn't know it was going to be 6 years or whatever. What are you going to do? And God took me to Deuteronomy 11, verse 10 to 12. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. This is the UK. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. That is quite phenomenal for this country. It's a land the Lord cares for. And as we got out at Heathrow, February 2006, I sniffed the air, and I sniffed revival in the air. I sniffed something is going to happen here. And, you know, I spoke to various people about it, but, you know, there wasn't much response at the time. And so I started delving really into the history of the UK and so on, but left it. And then January last year, friends of ours gave us tickets to the theatre to see The Lion King. Well, it was January. It was cold here. It was snowing. I had to buy boots because they, you know, your feet slip. In Cape Town, we don't get snow. And so when I first saw it on the ground, yeah, I thought, what is that? And Greg and I, our friends, took photos of us because we picked it up and we ate it and we tasted it. You know, it was so wonderful. But I sat in the theater, and when Lion King started, who's seen Lion King? Yeah, a number of you. It starts off with a wonderful African woman standing in the corner, and she starts to sing. Do you remember? And she sings that your hair stands up and your spine just... And everything in me, you know, I felt the pain of not being at home because I'm very African, love Africa. And I felt the pain of not being home. And, my insides called for Africa. It was quite an extraordinary feeling. And I just said to the Lord, what am I doing here? It's cold. What am I doing here? I'm made for Africa. And, you know, in the theater, God spoke to me and said, that feeling of passion you have for home, that feeling of just loving your nation, loving the people, having seen God do breakthroughs, the church rising up and breaking the hold of apartheid, God said, I want you to speak in this nation about that, to bring the passion for your nation back to you. The passion, because God loves this nation. But having been here for a while, there's quite a lot of cynicism, and it is, oh, well, you see, our cricket team wins, and then they don't, and they're in and they're out, and the football is in and out, and so on. And somehow there's an edge. This is not what you expected today, but I feel this is what God has led me to through the conference and just the words that came. God wants to do amazing things here. But to be able to do the amazing thing, you know, we want revival, but unless we are stirred with such a passion for the nation, and the nation's the people, we need such a passion to see God come in power, because we are so hungry for people to be saved. We are so filled with compassion for our nation. And Father, I want to ask, as I speak, will you do things that the passion rises up again in each person, that each person, there will be the right kind of pride for where one is born. I want to speak to people who have come to live here from other nations, who've adopted this nation as home. You know, we speak about we as Christians, we as God's children have been adopted into the family of God. So when you come and live in a nation and you've adopted it, you have the same rights, you have the same inheritance, the same everything. So if you've come to live in this nation and adopted it as your own, just enjoy all that God is doing here. If you've come for a visit and you're here for a while, like us, we're here for a while, how long, we don't know. We just want to get everything that God's got for you. We want to have it and pour back into. Do you see? It's for every single one of us. In Acts 17, verse 26, the Bible says that before time, God apportioned where we would live. So whether you are British or whether you've adopted the nation or whether you're here for a period, this is where God wants us at this moment in time. So after God spoke to me in the theater, this longing, you know, that when we see a South African flag, we ooze. I can't explain. We just ooze with delight. We have the most horrible history, our nation. We have suffered. It has been horrible. And yet we have such a joy and a the right kind of pride, not that nationalistic thing, but the right kind of pride in our nation, our flag, and so on. And God wants to stir something up in the church again. Because as I was reading the history, and you see, my dad was British, came with a Royal Air Force to South Africa, met my mother during the war, married, and so remained there. And so I am part British as well, And you need to know that. And though I would never have acknowledged it before, it's like being here, God is saying, now come on, come on, there's Africa and the UK mixing here. There's Africa and the UK. Do you see there's a multiculturalism going on? So I've been looking at the Christian history. And I've got little flimsy things here because Simon said, will you speak tomorrow? And I thought, oh, the things. You know, I've got reams of notes on this. But God knew I leave the notes behind, just talk. And, you know, in this nation and all over, we celebrate George Whitefield. Wasn't he wonderful? And John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And, you know, in a history book that I read in South Africa, and it's a secular history book, it said that if there wasn't a Whitefield raised up, there would have been civil war in the UK during that Industrial Revolution kind of time, because there was so much disunity because of, you know, mechanization and people losing their jobs and all that. And Whitefield was the one who came in with the gospel and saved this nation from civil war. And this is the history books, secular history books, saying the church is the church. Are you still doing all right? Is this making sense somewhere along the line? You happy? I know maybe it's not what you expected, but last night Julian said that God is commissioning. And as I stood there this morning, I felt God say, he's commissioning. He's commissioning. He's taking up a level higher. He's giving you a job maybe that you didn't even think that you were going to get. Or maybe you've been longing to get it. We get George Mueller. Orphanages, he did wonders. Don't we celebrate what he did? You've got C.T. Studd. You've got to remind me. I want you to shout some names to me even. Florence Nightingale, nursing. You see, these are all Christians. You look at the history of what happened in this nation and then was fed around the world. All Christians. Christians changed this nation. William Booth? Come on, hey? Bless him, Lord. Even Dr. Livingston, I presume. William Wilberforce. Don't we celebrate him? But you know, we often hear of William Wilberforce and what he did. But there was a black man, and I wish I remembered his name. I've got it. Yeah, there we are. And he's not celebrated very much, but he did wonders with Wilberforce. Wonders. He was brought over here as a slave, and he won. He broke through, and he honored. He honored this nation, and he honored the people right in his captivity. He honored. And so God blessed him with William Wilberforce. I think Shaftesbury, does that make... Yeah? Huntington, it's all the names I was trying to remember. Am I losing you? John Bunyan. Yay. Yay, Ken, John Bunyan. Hey? I said to Ken this morning, give me some more names. John Bunyan. Do you know, even the Westminster rule of government comes from Moses and Jethro and so on, which is the rule that is used in various parts of the world. Now, all this comes from this nation and is in your blood. Ooh, it's in your blood. And I feel God calling. Come on, church. Ooh, do you know your history? Do you know your genes? Do you know where you come from? Isn't it time, church? You know, we are so full of authority, full of power. We celebrate Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And it's about having a good time together like this, but it's about changing societies, communities. We are made for out there. These people who's, and this is a small list, I've got reams of names that have come from this nation. And these men and women stood up and went through jolly hard times, but something happened in them where they got hold of the kingdom vision and said, this is what I want. This is what God made me for. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. Do you know, in the book of Esther, you know, she had to paint and powder and fast and all this kind of thing to get favor from the king. And she walked in and he held out his staff. And he said, or his scepter or whatever it was, Esther, you're so lovely. What do you want? I'll give you up to half my kingdom. And we think, now wasn't he kind? Do you know, I think it's Luke 9 or somewhere where Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. There's no half measures with God. And for the church, we the church, so powerful. What is it? Mighty as an army with banners. You know, when the band plays and the drums start going, oh, everything in me thinks, oh, come on, Lord. Oh, let's march to the drum beat. And so God wants to bring such an anointing on you today, if you are willing, because it's all grace. If you're thinking, oh, what is she on about? But it's to catch the vision for this nation, the church in this nation. Jesus' name must be famous again in this nation. Who wants revival in this nation? You see, we are a people of revival power. Oh, yes. God loves this nation. His eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end. And he wants to stir up a passion again in people for this nation. And then from this nation into other nations. And that is whether you were born here, whether you adopted this nation, whether you're visiting for a period. It's to say, come on, let's get together as church and change something and do something so that, you know, in 50 years' time, we would like people to read names. We don't want people still to say, well, you see, George Whitfield of then. We want names of this time to be written down. So the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren are saying, do you know, 50 years ago, this and that and that happened, and this and that and that. And various people in this congregation's names are put down as they did this and this one did that and that one went to parliament and stood up for this one did this and that one did that and that changed and this changed. And you know what? It's our inheritance. This is our inheritance, what Jesus died for. To advance the kingdom, to say, come on, like a mighty army, come on, with great humility, always with great humility. We only have the rights given to us by Jesus. We have no rights of, well, I'm a Christian, therefore I can. If that's the rights, then we've lost it. But it's the rights of Lord Jesus. And you know, when he commissions, you've got the whole host of heaven behind you. And we can do whatever he says because he's commissioned us. He's put his hand on us and said, now go. And it's scary. But boy, does he work well. He works so well. And so, Holy Spirit, will you come? I wonder if you'll stand. Holy Spirit, will you come? And Lord, will you just walk among people here? And will you just put your hand of anointing on each person? Lord, will you heal the brokenhearted? Lord, will you touch people who have lost a compassion for this nation. I want to ask, Lord, that I felt in the theater that night, will you stir something in the belly of your church again of such compassion for the nation, such compassion for the lost, such compassion even for government, such compassion for all the different nations that have been sent here, such compassion for the poor, such compassion without the judging and the cynicism. Will you break judging and cynicism over hearts and minds here, Lord? And will you flow in a whole new way in people so that people can walk out the doors full of humility, but so full of authority, being commissioned by God to change the expression of Christianity in the UK, to change the expression of Christianity wherever we go, into a mighty force, a powerful force to change the world. Because the earth is the Lord's. Somebody said it yesterday, the earth is the Lord's. And somehow we get brainwashed into giving in. And we give in. And the world seems so powerful, and this goes for the US as well. The world seems so powerful. So powerful. And the rules and the regulations, we lived under it in South Africa. It was so powerful. And it just shaped us, and we lived in fear, and we can't do this and you can't do that. Until God says, now hold on. I'm in charge. The government is on my shoulders. It's on my shoulders. And Holy Spirit, will you come and commission people today? Will you come and give jobs for people to do, works for them to do? You've prepared good works in advance for each one. I want to ask, whatever each one's good works is, they will pick it up today and walk in it in a whole new way of power. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I wonder if you would lift your voice and call on God for revival in this nation. But it must be a serious thing. It's not, Lord, come and revive me because I just love you so much, kind of. You know, that's nice. But this must go deeper into your very being, a cry from your heart for the Lord to come and revive this wonderful, wonderful nation that his eyes are on all the time.